Salt is such a big deal now that a shaker of Morton's is cowering in the corner, overpowered by status salts with pedigrees and provenance. Salt merchant Mark Bitterman sells these pedigreed salts in his shops, Meadow in Portland, Oregon, and Meadow in New York City. Now, when he was a student backpacking in France, he noticed that cooks traveled with their own salts. So as he tramped the world, he started collecting and tasting and studying, and he developed opinions, which are documented in his book, Salted, A Manifesto on the World's Most Essential Mineral. Mark, welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me here.
Mark, you've killed a culinary icon. Could you please read from the kosher salt entry in your book?
Well, I'd be glad to. Kosher salt is a processed food with all the mineral and moisture qualities intrinsic to real salt stripped away and with a crystal structure fabricated by automated processes. The flavor is antiseptic, like the bright fluorescence of a laboratory on a spaceship drifting aimlessly away from Earth. The texture crackles and bounces on your tongue like an undead pet, a battery-operated puppy with no hair, trying to comfort you with its soulless antics. When we cook with kosher salt, we sanctify the artificial. We embrace emptiness. We become unfit for our posts, a nakedness far worse than embarrassment.
You do not mince words. So how did you come to have these strong opinions about salt?
Honestly, I didn't know I had strong opinions until I was speaking more publicly about it, because to me, I feel passionately about all food. And I think that salt is something that has this amazing natural diversity, this natural authenticity to it that we connect to. And you can see it and you can taste it. And when you find the right salt on the right food, and it just explodes in your mouth and you get this incredibly new and more vital and exciting flavor, it's sort of like an affirmation of this quest for something more authentic and exciting in food.
This is one of those things you never think about.
Well, I think that that's just it. We take salt for granted. It's a four-letter word for this white, homogenous, industrialized, standardized product at the bottom of the supermarket shelves. And there's nowhere historically that we have been eating this. This is something that was invented about 150 years ago with the advent of the modern chemical industry. So iodized salt, a lot of these cheap sea salts, kosher salt, rock salts, they're all pure refined sodium chloride and have nothing to do with the natural food that salt has been for thousands of years.
What for you are examples that really speak to what makes salt exciting?
Well, I think whenever you find a salt that is made with such deliberation, with such intensity of purpose, that's very exciting. And that happens more often than you might think. Where I see it happening most often, sort of on a cultural level, is in Japan. There are a number of Japanese salts that are just truly spectacular in what they've put into the salt to make them come out the way they have. A good example would be there's a Shinkai deep sea salt from Japan that is harvested with seawater that is 3,000 feet under the ocean, and they pull the seawater up. They bring it into a greenhouse. They spray that water onto bamboo mats that are suspended from the ceiling of the greenhouse. That water slowly trickles down and evaporates as it trickles down. They repeat that process for days until you have a concentrated brine.
Huh.
You then take that concentrated brine, you put it in a big cauldron over a wood fire, and you stir it continuously, without cease, day and night, with a wooden paddle until slowly the crystals form. And all this deep water minerals of magnesium and other minerals get bound up in the lattice of the crystals. And you have this super, super fine, almost frond-like flakes that form. And it's this paralyzing bright white with this beautiful, delicate balance of bittersweet taste. And that salt, sprinkled on top of something fresh and simple, is one of the most incredible experiences there is.
Huh. And at 3,000 feet, you have minerals that you wouldn't have at another level.
Yeah, what's interesting is the ocean, there's something called the halocline, which is as the ocean gets deeper, the water gets saltier. And different salts pervade. There's many, many different kinds of salts in the ocean, not just sodium chloride. And so the balance and the concentration of the salts changes as you get deeper. The Japanese have a real fascination with this. There's even salts that are made where they combine water from shallow currents and deep currents to make a salt. They're very, very sensitive to these nuances.
What does a salt like that cost?
It is not inexpensive by comparison to what we're used to paying for salt. A little jar like that might cost you $10, $15 for a few ounces. But you only use a pinch at a time, so the per serving cost is a couple pennies.
So most of the salts that you talk about that have distinctive flavors, you would be using these at the end of cooking where their flavors would really make a difference in a dish?
Yeah, that's something that we generally preach in our store, is to skew the use of your salt toward the end of your food preparation. This is not to say that you shouldn't cook with salt, not at all, but there are many times when you can use less salt or no salt at all while you're cooking, and that gives you the opportunity to put a salt on at the end where the salt has a little bit more autonomy, where it can show its colors and kind of interact and play with the food a little bit more vibrantly.
Well, that leads to the next question, which is, well, I realize this is like asking you to pick your favorite child, but do you have a salt that you like as your, in quotes, everyday salt?
I do. We have a selgree. Selgree is a type of sea salt that is evaporated in open crystallizing pans under the sun, and the crystals form on the bottom of the pan, and they are then raked up every day, and they have this beautiful, coarse texture. They have a lot of moisture, like 13% residual moisture inside of the crystal. And so it has this very pliant, yielding crystal crunch to it. And it also has this beautiful resiliency on food. So you can use it as a finishing salt on hearty foods like steak or lamb or root vegetables. But it's also just a fantastic salt. It's inexpensive, and it's readily available everywhere. And it's mineral-rich and all-natural and harvested by hand. But you can use it in your pasta water, in your blanching your veggie water. You can grind it up a little bit with a mortar and pestle for your baking. It's very versatile.
And it could replace kosher salt.
Absolutely. It just takes a little bit more. It takes some adjustment to get to use it.
I understand. Mark, thank you for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Mark Bitterman is author of Salted, A Manifesto of the World's Most Essential Mineral. Now, if you want salt to shine and last for months, try making preserved lemons. They're simple to do, and they're going to become a secret weapon with a flavor that's tart and bright, but mysteriously rich and a bit flowery. Now, once they're cured, you mince up the rind and you add it to beans and soups and stews, even to tuna salad. There's just not much that they're not going to make taste better. Mark left us with his recipe, and you're going to find it, you know where, splendidtable.org.